Good evening, everybody. Thank you all for coming out this evening. On behalf of the Adult Education Committee, our congregation Beth Abraham, I'd like to thank you all for coming out this evening to our final shiur of our Yachei Kala on the Shiva Mitzvos Bnei Noach. Our speaker this evening is no stranger to the Jewish community. He's heard by thousands every weekday morning on JM and the AM. And when somebody says the words morning chizuk, inevitably the immediate correlation is Rabbi David Goldwasser. Besides being a radio personality, Rabbi Goldwasser is the Rav of Congregation Beis Yitzchak in Brooklyn. He is a principal of Beis Yaakov of Midwood Seminary, an accomplished author of 3 books, a weekly columnist in the Jewish press, a worldwide lecturer, and currently one of the pioneers in the Kiruv movement. We look forward to tremendous insight this evening on our topic of interacting with non-Jews today. And without further ado, it's my great pleasure that I introduce this evening Evening Chizuk with Rabbi David Goldwasser.
Yeshua Samar Adasra, Shlita, Rav Neuberger. It's interesting that there's requirements for Geirus. Geirus, when a person wants to convert. One of the requirements physically is that the Geirus toivel in a mikveh, that he immerses in a mikveh. So there was a potential convert, and he was making all of the achonas. He prepared for over a year. He went through all different classes and went through Shabbos and went through Yom Tov. He went through all the different seasons being a Jew. Finally, it came to the day of the Geirus, and he goes into the water, and the Rabbonim asks him the question, as the Rambam outlines the way of conversion. And they ask him all the questions, the chamuros, the kalas, the easy ones, the more difficult things, the arises, the rabbonon. And when they finish, they say, okay, you know, he's over here, up till here in the water. They said, now you have to immerse. So he tries, and he tries, and he says, I have to tell you the truth, I'm afraid of water. For me to get in even this high, it took a lot. But I can't put my head under the water, that's asking too much. So the Rabbonim says, halacha, halacha is that you have to immerse your head underneath the water. He says, but the Rabbonim, I went through all of this. I went through so much study. I learned everything. I went through the whole seasons. I did the whole year as you're supposed to. And now, how can you hold it back just because I can't put my head in the water? The Rabbonim said, wait one moment. They all went back into a separate room and began to confer, citing rabbinic sources from all over Shas and Poskim, Shulchan Aruch. Finally, one says, you know what? We'll let him go like that. He'll be a Jew, but he'll always have a Goyish cup. The truth is, we have to understand, is there such a thing as a Goyish cup? Is there something that a person doesn't think like a Jew? Now, we have Einsteins, we have great Tzaddikim, great Gaonim. They were the most brilliant of all the generations, of course. But are there not also brilliant people among the nations? Is that our singular Mila? Is that our quality that we were given this brilliance? Or is that something that everybody shares? In fact, the Medrash tells us that the reason that we got the Torah is not because we're the smartest. It wasn't because we have the greatest intellect. The reason is because we would be willing to give up, to be Moser Nefesh, even to self-sacrifice, if need be, for the Torah and for mitzvahs. That's the reason we got it. Not because of any superior intellect that we have, or any great wisdom, although we may have it. It's not the reason why we got the Torah. And in fact, it's interesting in the Gemara where it tells us, why is it called Har Sinai? Because Mishom Yorda Sina L'Umas Ha'olam. Because from Har Sinai, the hate went down to the Ummah Sa'olam. That's when they began to despise the Jew. The question is, what about that we got the Torah caused the non-Jews to hate us so much? So the Gemara tells us, if you take a look in Rashi, Rashi clues us in, and he says the reason is because the non-Jews were jealous. They were upset we got the Torah. And in fact, if you take a look in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, that's in Shabbos, in Peches. In the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, it fast forwards to the end of time, and it says once again that the nations of the world are going to be very upset. They say, Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem, had you given us the Torah, Had you given us mitzvahs, so we would have also done the job. We would also be like your Jewish people. So as we know, Hashem said, okay, I'll give you one mitzvah. What mitzvah was that? Mitzvah of sukkah. They go into the mitzvah inside the sukkah. Hashem takes out the sun. It begins to be a very hot day. And those from the nations of the world that went into the mitzvah of sukkah, they get very upset. And they leave the sukkah. And while they're leaving the sukkah, they give it a kick. They kick the mitzvah. So the Mefarshim explained that here it was because of the non-Jews that they were so thirsting. They wanted to be able to say that they got the Torah. They were given only one mitzvah of the Torah. And yet we see that the reason why Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people is because of the Mesiras Nefesh. And that was shown, the self-sacrifice. That was shown by their response. When they couldn't do the mitzvah because it was too hot out, because the sun was shining, so leave the mitzvah like mentioned. Have derech eretz. You don't have to kick the sukkah. But the fact that they kicked the sukkah on the way out, it showed where they were. It showed that the level of Mesiras Nefesh, the self-sacrifice that they would have, would be on a very, very small and limited level. There's also an interesting Rambam. How are we to treat the non-Jews? How are we to interact? Here is interesting Rambam, Hilchos Matnas Aniyim. It's Perek Aleph, and talking about what we give to the world. We know that it says in Bava Basra, Chesed Le'umim Chatasein, that sometimes when we will do something for the non-Jews, it can be a chait, it can be a sin. Sometimes a person has to know that by giving to other outside of our own people to give to their causes, it may take away from sorely needed causes that we have. Somebody comes to collect for certain nations that are underprivileged, we feel bad for them. But it's not Yerushalayim. It's not Eretz Yisrael. It's not a place where there are niyim of our own people that need. Plenty of people exist in Amim. Plenty of missionaries go collecting day and night, and there's channels on the cable that will go and collect and throw a pitch out. But our main chiyuv is towards B'nai Eir. Our main chiyuv, our obligation, is towards our own people, our own city, our own nation. The Rambam says a very interesting idea. The FLP came. Even though we are only to give to Jewish people, we're only to give to those Geirim that are true Geirim that have adopted the Jewish religion and made it their own. Afal pi kein, ein moini naniye akum, you cannot hold back from the people of the world, mimat naseilu. You have to give them the same presence, you have to give them the same charity. Elovim b'chlal aniye Yisrael, v'noitli noisim, they can come together with all the non-Jews. The Jews and the non-Jews can come together. If they show up on Pesach when you're giving out Mos Chitim, you got to give to them also. Mipnei Darkei Shalom. Because of the ways of peace, we want to promote peace. There's another Rambam, almost identical, in Hilchos Avel, in talking about the laws of mourning. There in Yod Beis, it's interesting, it says, Koifrin Mesei Akum. We bury the dead of the non-Jews. Not only that, but we go to their houses and we comfort them when whatever they do, not sit in Shiva, but whatever they're doing in the time of their bereavement, we go to them, we visit them, and we try to cheer them up. Not only that, Mevrakrim Choleyem. We go to visit their sick. You go to the hospital, you don't just ask for the clergy registry of the Jewish people, you visit the non-Jews. Mivnei Darkei Shalom. Because of ways of peace. Now it's interesting that the Rambam clarifies this. What are ways of peace? We may think that Darkei Shalom, ways of peace, mean that if we don't do something for the non-Jews, they may get angry about it. They may get upset with us. It may cause anti-Semitism to flourish in the world. Anti-Semitism doesn't need any cause to flourish. It can do it on its own real good without any problem at all. However, the Rambam says that that's not the reason. The reason that we do mitzvahs and that we help out those that are not Jewish, the reason that we can reach out to them at certain times, is not merely to avoid conflict, it's not merely to avoid a fight, but it's mivdarkei shalom. It promotes good relationships between the Jewish people and the non-Jews, even if there's no threat and danger. Now this is an interesting halacha for us to remember, because it comes in a lot of times. Say for instance they're collecting for the holidays on the streets in the city or wherever you're going, so you have no halacha. Do I give to them? Do I give to them substantial? Do I give to them something that's just a token? Person has to know. On the other hand, there are times that because of halacha, we are very careful that we do not mix, that we don't go, even if mishum eva, that we're afraid that, God forbid, chas v'shalom, there may be upset, it may cause some bad feelings. One of these cases, an example, is Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He received a call from one of the Rabbanim, one of his musmachim. And he calls up Rav Soloveitchik and he says to him, I got a difficulty, a problem locally, that one of the very well-liked Monsignors died. The Monsignor in town died. He was very well-respected. And they've called me to be present in the church at his funeral. So they call the Rav, and he says, what should I do? I got to go. The president of the shul says, if I don't go, Chas v'shalom, it could be a pogrom in town. Now, that's just, you know, a little far, but that's the question. So the Rav said, well, pogrom, it's going to be that way. He said, I need a couple of days. The funeral's not going to be for a few days. I want to think about it. We see that this is a question. I'm sure the Rav could have given an answer like that. He could have been meshiv on the spot. But it's something that requires yishuv adas. It's something that requires some thinking. How do we deal with the people on the outside? How do we deal with possible conflict in the community? 2 days later, the rabbi was nervous. He kept calling back from Soloveitchik. Finally, the Rav took his call. And he said to him, listen, I can't go against the Taz, I can't go against the Shach, I can't go against the Shulchan Aruch, I can't go against the Rosh, I can't go against the Ran. And for that reason, I'm telling you right now, that even though sometimes, like it says in the Gemara and Brachos, we go out and we analyze the situation, what it is in the community, what it is in the city, in this situation, you can't go. And the rabbi was somewhat surprised. Can't go. Not the Rav would let him go. And he says, if I would have let you go, then all of those in the past also would have gone. The people during the Crusades, those that were Moser Nefesh for Kiddush Hashem, those that died to sanctify God's name, all of those over the years, they also would have gone to church. And then you know what? You wouldn't be the rabbi of a shul. You wouldn't get a salary from the Jewish people. I wouldn't be the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva University. None of that would exist. In fact, there wouldn't be a Jewish community today. So there are times when it says, like in the Rambam, that we do give money, that we're Mavaka Choyla, that we're Menachem Mavol, that we try and reach out to the community. And then there are other times when a person has to know how to withdraw and stay very much separate and apart from the rest of the community. And it's interesting that the Kotzker, the great of Menachem Mendel of Kotz, has the question, why is it that Shlomo HaMelech was stuck in two things? What was it? Netilas Yadayim, washing the hands, and also the idea of Eruv, that we can contain a certain area, and we can combine all of the people within the Eruv as one. So the Kotzker says, why dafka these two things? What's the commonality? What's the tzad hashava? It's a common denominator between the two. Do you know what the Kotzker says? Because when you make an Eruv, you include. It's inclusive. You bring other people. You join together. People from various backgrounds. When you join together, you have to know when to make Netilas Yadayim and wash your hands and separate as well. Sometimes we as Jewish people are very good. We can bring others in. We can reach out. We can get active politically. We can start to have certain connections and relationships with those from the Amen. But we have to be very careful where that will lead to. We ourselves, our children, everybody that we come into contact with, we have to be very careful. How much do we want to have that relationship? In Pirkei Avos, there are two separate azharos, two separate warnings. Havizar, you should be careful of the rishus. They only makarv you, the government is makarv you when they need you. When they don't need you, you see what they do. Anybody that was privy to the articles that came out a couple of months ago, we thought we knew what happened. Yeah, Richard Nixon, president, friend of Israel, helped out at various times. What we hear talked and spoken about on the tapes between Halderman, how they referred to the Jews, they could have just called us one word of curse or two words. Did they have to do all the expletive deletives in one sentence? Elamai, that was the true feelings. Torah Kedoshah knew, it said, be careful. When you get too close to the government, you feel too smug. We have one of ours. And they make all the jokes when he comes to the dinner and addresses everybody and says, I was a Shabbos goy when we grew up. And he starts to say, Baruch Hashem. So everybody feels like, wow, Mashiach came already. Look how close everybody feels to us. Yeah, how close everybody feels to us, as long as the political agenda reads well, as long as it's politically correct, as long as things don't come out from his local constituents that he doesn't mind, that he's doing a few things to the Jews for whatever reason. We have to be careful. There is a time that we feel close, and then there is a time that we have to do what the Mishnah Novice that says, keep a good eye on what's happening in the political process, because we are not sure what's going to happen. Also, many ideas that we have in terms of Chukas HaAkum. You know how many calls I got? Big Shiloh, Thanksgiving. I don't know if you got the calls here. Calls. Are you allowed to go to Thanksgiving celebration? Are you allowed to eat turkey? Turkey. Big Shiloh. I wish that that's other Shilohs, but it's a question. Could you go and eat turkey? Is that proper? Can you celebrate? Can you go to an office party? Oh, questions, interesting questions about Chukas HaAkum. Questions of uniform, questions of name. It's very interesting. A person should be called, if at all possible, by their Jewish name. And the Svarim go into many great details. A lot of pages have been written on the importance of a person being known by their Jewish name. Interesting piece of history. The Maharam Shik. The Maharam Shik said at that time, people began to acculturate, and they became known by the names that were common in the community. Many of the Jews stopped being called Avram and Yitzhak and Yaakov, but they took on the names that were very common in their community. The Maharam Shik said that he had one time that he was called by the local hierarchy. They had a meeting and they wanted to consult with the Maharam Shik. When he was leaving, they called him back. They said, Rebbe, come over here for a minute. And the top person of the community, the top person of the religious, non-Jewish community asked him, let me ask you a question. All of our people, when they have a child, they try to give them biblical names, the names that we have in our so-called tradition, that is, that are names that are good Christian names. Why is it that the Jewish people seem to be taking our names? Do they want to be just like us? Did you run out of those names in your Old Testament? The Maharam Shik was bothered no end. He wrote a scathing tshuva to the Jewish community. Be called by your Jewish name. Stop adopting the customs and the names from the outside. Be careful about your own name. We come from a rich history. The names are beautiful. Stop looking at them like they're archaic. And it's very interesting that the Maharam's last name was not Shik. That was an adopted name. Shik stands for three letters. Shin, Yud, Kuf. Meaning, Shem Yehudi Kadosh. The name of a Jew is holy. Why did he adopt that? Because he wanted that the people would start to realize that there's a holiness in the name. It's not something that's negotiable. We have to keep the names as they are. And it's for that reason that Maharam Shik said, call me by that name from now on. There is a danger sometimes where there is a crossover where we begin to adopt some of the other customs. The reason is because what happens is after a while that we begin to forget what's our custom, what's the other custom. What is uniquely Jewish? What does the Torah say that we should conduct ourselves in which way in our own homes? In which way should we conduct ourselves maybe at certain meetings when we have to be together with non-Jews? Now it's interesting that some of these customs have surfaced in terms of weddings, Jewish weddings. So, a lot of new ideas that come in, and it's amusing to me sometimes. You have a child walk in with a pillow and a ring on top of the pillow. I don't know if my Zaidi had that at his wedding. That's an interesting thing. Where did it come from? Didn't it come from Shulchan Aruch? Didn't it come from the Minhage Lita? There was an interesting book that was put out. You know, all the Chassidim always put out their customs and where they came. Bells has one, and Lubavitch, and some, they all have one. So the Litvish have decided we're not going to be a stepchild anymore. They came out with Minhage Lita. And it's very interesting what was the customs of the wedding day. What did they do back in Russia and Latvia? What did they do back in Poland? What were the customs? Well, some of the things that have come into our own weddings, have come into our own celebrations, are very far away. It's a question about it in Jewish law. Does it smack of chukas ha'akum? Is it a d'oraisa? Is it a d'rabbanan? Or is it just something that a person should not become involved in? But there is a difficulty the more that we become like our neighbors, the more that we take down the lines of demarcation, the more difficult it is for us. It's an interesting thing. We say that the reason that we use wine for Kiddush on Friday night, the Netziv says, what's the reason we use wine for Kiddush? Of course, everybody knows, Yayin Yisamach Levav Enosh, that a person takes a little bit of wine and they get happy. They get happy. It's a nice thing. You take some wine, not too much, but just enough. And it gladdens a person. It gladdens a person's heart. Mishlei says, Yipen Yayin Lamari Nefesh, a person's a little bit sad. Give him a glass of wine, let him cheer up a little bit. So therefore we can understand, comes the Kiddush, Lel, Shabbos, Friday night, we have to be besimcha. We're so happy that Shabbos came in, we take a little bit wine, and we are mole simcha. We're so happy, finally at Shabbos we get out from the weekday, right? So the Netziv says, I can understand that very well. Comes to be Motzoi Shabbos, comes to be the time for Havdalah, Shabbos is leaving, what do we take? Glass of wine. Netziv says, I can't understand it. Who's happy? You're supposed to be happy Shabbos is leaving. You're not supposed to take a look at your clock. Okay, when's it going to be out? Shabbos, sorry, I got to go tonight to work. You don't say that. You wait 72 minutes, 2 hours, make a late Malevah Malkah, take Shabbos out by the next morning. Baal Shem Tov used to do that. That's the way we got to be. Person sad about Shabbos going out. Don't we take the spices? We take the psalmim. Why do we smell them? Because the neshama's upset. We feel a little bit faint. We're weary. Shabbos is leaving. I got to revive myself. My neshama's got to breathe in the b'samim. So ask the Netziv, if that's the case, why do we take out the wine by Havdalah? The Netziv says the following. If you take a look at the Nusach, the version that we have for the Bracha of Havdalah, it says, Hamavdil ben Kodesh l'chol. He makes the difference, the distinction between the holy and the mundane. Right? Ben Kodesh l'chol. Bein or l'choshef, between what's light and what's darkness. Bein Yisrael la'amin, the difference between the Jews and the rest of the world. Bein yom hashviyi l'sheish yimei ha'maaseh, between the day of Shabbos and the rest of the days of creation. The person that can understand that, he says, that's a reason to take wine, it's a reason to be happy, it's a reason to make a whole new simcha again. So it would be worthwhile if we would take just the time from Havdalah. If we take the time for Havdalah, and we would think about just for a second, then I got to think about what is the whole idea here? What am I supposed to gain from it? I'm supposed to remember the line of demarcation. What happens in the Yetzer Hara? Yetzer Hara always comes along. You can count on the Yetzer Hara. He will never, ever let you down. It's interesting in many different ways. Yetzer Hara will have one person who's a businessman, and he will deal with someone from the community. Unzere, right? He'll deal with someone, Anshe Shlomeini, governs together. He will get so majorly burnt and turned off by the business deal or the money or whatever happened. Huh? Then what happens? He has a business dealing with somebody from outside of the community. No shtick, no dreidlich, everything goes smooth. Yetzer Hara. Who made the deal? Yetzer Hara. Because he wants a person to adopt a certain thinking of what it is. Hamavdil ben Kodesh l'chol ben Yisrael la'amin means, no, there's a pivotal difference. There's a difference that a person has to understand. No matter how many times you open the paper and see that this happened, or a Chilul Hashem happened like that, we have to keep focused. We have to know that the Satan knows how to use the media well. New York Times doesn't only do it to us. It's also the Satan. He knows how to dray everything so that we come away with the wrong opinion. But a person has to keep focused. It was an interesting thing. There was a man, a well-to-do gentleman, was standing on a plane, on a train platform in Europe, and he was standing there reading his newspaper. All of a sudden, a young man came over. The young man says to the person who's reading his newspaper, "Excuse me, sir, could you tell me what time it is?" The man just kept reading his newspaper. He ignored him totally. The young man was a little bit impatient, a little bit of a whippersnapper, and he says, "Excuse me, sir, could you tell me what time it is?" The gentleman completely ignored this guy. He didn't pay him any attention at all. This young man became perturbed, walks over to him, and he says, "Excuse me, sir, could you tell me what time it is?" He didn't like to be ignored. The gentleman puts down his newspaper, and he says, "I want to tell you something, young man. If I'm going to tell you what time it is, no question about it, you're going to start talking to me. When the train pulls into the station, you will probably walk on the train together with me. When I sit down, you're certainly going to sit next to me, right in that seat, and you're going to continue to talk to me until I arrive at my stop. When I arrive at my stop, there's no question, you're going to get off the train together with me. Somehow you're going to get yourself invited over to my house. Once you're inside my house, you're going to see there that I have a lovely young daughter. You're going to want to marry her. But you know what? I don't want to have a son-in-law that does not even own a wristwatch." The idea is that a person has to be able to make the line of demarcation. Ben Yisrael lo amin. How does a person be careful? How do we know when to get involved, when we allow too much of the alien influence to come into our own homes? How is a person supposed to be guarded in that way? It's a very careful shikul. A person has to make a calculated measurement in terms of when we allow something to come into our home, when we allow ourselves to have a certain relationship, and how does that relationship express itself? I don't have to tell you, I'm sure you heard many times. There's a very interesting incident that I had a few years back. There was a young lady, wonderful young lady, a mitzuyenes, and she was going to a very wonderful school. I happened to give a special class in that particular school just one time every month to this particular group. And she had come over several times to ask questions after class, and she was very interested, very enthusiastic about her studies. Afterwards, there was a question as to where she was going to go on. She had called me for my opinion. She solicited several opinions. It's okay. A person wants to go shopping for a sock, shopping for an etzah. It's not always the good way to go. A person has to know in where they want to be mekabel, who they want to accept. So I told her my etzah. I told her, go to Eretz Yisrael. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, study, and I gave her the name of a particular seminary. I said, it's unbelievable. Go on and be a doctor, be whatever you want to be, but get a year. Learn, study for a year, be in the Holy Land. After you're there, and you get what you need, you get your footing, you get your foundation, you have it, you soak, then go anywhere you want. Well, not everybody has to listen, but that's okay. She didn't listen. She went to a particular campus. I would have never suggested, out of all the campuses, I wouldn't suggest that campus. I get a call Friday afternoon. It's about a year and a half later. It was towards the summertime. I get a call. It's a young lady on the telephone. She would like to come over to discuss a few issues. I said, fine. I tell you the truth, I didn't get the name. It was a busy time, and I didn't recognize her voice, certainly. And she said, I would like to come over to discuss the issues. Fine. I didn't realize who she was going to be. And I said, you know what, I'm a little bit busy right now, but if you'd like to, come over tomorrow night. It was Erev Shabbos. I said, come over Matzoy Shabbos, and I'll talk to you then. Young lady came over Matzoy Shabbos, opened the door, walked in. I didn't recognize her. She sits down, talks to me for a few minutes, and says, you know, I have to tell you the truth. We were given study partners in school, and she told me the particular class. And the study partners means that you have to do certain research with them. The research is after hours. And I was given a young man, no shaykhis, a goy, nothing to do with him, nothing to do with me. If that's what the teacher paired me up as, I have to do it, right? So we got to studying, and it was after hours, and we got to talking. I said, he's a really good person. And as we studied more, I developed a certain, I liked him. And the more that like went on, it grew into love. And now I got a big dilemma, because I want to know, how can I bring him home to my parents? My father's a rabbi. How can I bring him home? So I asked her, just innocently, did you come to me for an etzah of how you're going to bring somebody home who's a goy? Not in a million years. That must not be what you're asking. She says, no. What I'm asking is, what should I do about the whole idea? Now, that to me is such a danger. Was it a person that was completely crazy? This was an upperclassman. This was an individual that was very straight thinking. This is a person that had a tremendous ability. But look what happened. Look what happened to her. Such a dilemma. It's going to take a lot, even when you get the goy away from her. And there are books written about what to do. A threatening intermarriage. Calls come in all over the place. Why does it come in? Because we don't watch the lines of demarcation, of delineation, Bein Yisrael La'amin. That's a very big problem. And you know, it's interesting that many years ago, in Lita, they asked one of the Gedolim that were there, a person came in and he said, you know, I got a problem. I said, what's the problem? So he says, what can I tell you? My son went crazy. Meshuga. That's what he used to say, he went crazy. So the Gedolim was very upset. What does it mean he went crazy? Is there something, you know, he's kind of behavior. So he says, he went crazy. Why? He says, because my son. What's he doing? So he says, Es Chazer, he's eating treif, when er tanz mit shiksis, and he's dancing with shiksis, he's dancing with non-Jewish women. The Gadol said, he's not crazy. If you would tell me, as er tanz mit chazerim, when er es shiksis, so then I would say he's crazy. He's normal. He's 100% normal. The normal way of things are that a person has to watch. If they know exactly where the law is, if they know exactly where the line lies, so then everything is okay. When they begin to forget about it, so many things can happen that we would never expect. Halacha, halacha, Esav sarne liYaakov. Halacha, Esav has hate. He despises Yaakov. That's halacha. Can we help it? Says halacha. Where's the halacha part of it? So the Kresu place, he says that the way that we learn the halacha is that if two people sit down together, one is eating milchigs and one is eating fleishigs, dairy and meat, so they have to make a siman heker in between them. They can't both eat together because we're afraid that since they're both friends, that they may go to share each other's food. One may take from the fleishigs in the middle of milchigs, one may take the milchigs in the middle of fleishigs. Therefore, they need to have a sign, they need a siman, in order to know that they're both eating separate things that have to be kept separate. Halacha is, if a person eats together with somebody who's not Jewish, they don't need to have any siman. They don't need to place something in between. What is the reason? Because we should not be at the point where there's developed a relationship that we should be so ease at sharing between the two. That's what the Kresu Plesi says. And it's also interesting that this halacha of Esav son of Yaakov means that the majority of those from the outside, unfortunately, at one time or another, will express a certain disdain for the Jewish people. Undeserved, unwarranted, for no reason at all. But it is something that people cannot take. Let me give you an example. I was in Poland. It happened to be a good number of years ago. So on the last day, it was a week-long convention of all young people from all over Poland. Here's a young lady that was there. I didn't recognize her during the time that I was there. Young men and women. Came to be the last minute before I was ready to go out. The taxi was already there. It was a small little place. Bialska Biała. It's only famous because they make a beer that they all like to drink all over Poland. But aside from that, we had a little center there. And I'm ready to leave on the taxi to go to Krakow to go back to the airport. Meantime, this young lady asked me right before I'm leaving, can I talk to you about something very serious? So I said, sure. I went into the side room and she begins to tell me her whole story that she was brought up as a goy. She was brought up as a Christian. No question that she was a Christian. Her grandmother dies. Grandmother dies just last week. And it was a very sad thing. The grandmother lived in the house. And when the grandmother died, they came to deliver the certificate of death. Very official in certain countries. They delivered the certificate of death. And this is a young lady. Her mother took it very hard. She wanted to help ease the pain from her mother. So she didn't want to give the mother all the details, read the cause of death and everything. She thought she'll take care of it herself. Looks at the paper, begins to read the certificate. Completely different last name than the last name that they have in their family, that they knew the grandmother by. The girl runs out to the mother. Mama, they delivered to us the wrong certificate. It's to somebody else. Says, what are you talking about? What do you mean? Because on the certificate it says this name. When she said the name, the mama that hid for 18 years, that the girl is Jewish, broke down and cried. She couldn't continue the lie any longer. Finally, she has to tell the girl, "You are a Jew, and I'm sorry we hid it from you all these years because we went through the war, and during the wartime, it wasn't very good for Jews, so we hid it from you." Well, it's interesting. The girl said, "What do? I was brought up in the church. I go to the church, I know their songs, I know the whole service, I know the ceremonies and everything else. But after I came here for the week, I feel so comfortable. I feel like these are also my people. What should I do?" You have to be very careful. Very careful. How do you answer such a shaila? So I said to her the following. "The fact that you spoke to me right now, that your neshama didn't let me go, one more second I'd be gone for good, at least until the next time, maybe you would be gone for good. The fact that you asked me means that your neshama is never going to rest. Your neshama is never going to rest. You could take it into church, you could take it into wherever you want to. You can go to the Himalayas. It's never going to rest because you know who you are. I don't have to answer that question, but I'm waiting for your letter. Will you answer to me that question?" I got a letter about a half a year later. The letter came with a bottle of vodka, a good bottle of vodka. Why did they give it to me? It wasn't just a bottle of vodka. I like to drink, but not that much. The bottle is called Gold Wasser. It's an interesting thing. Gold Wasser. It has little pieces of, I don't know, some kind of gold that floats around in the water. It's a great thing. But anyhow, I didn't mean to get off the topic, but anyhow, she wrote to me that naturally she decided to be Jewish. I get a call on the telephone. Call on the telephone comes in. Neira v'ayim. She has a brother. The brother doesn't go for all this Jewish stuff. The brother is anti-Semitic. Not only he didn't accept Judaism, not only he doesn't buy the whole thing about the grandmother, but he still remains anti-Semitic. They were close all the time. The girl, sometimes the brother and sister could be very close. The Gemara says that a brother understands, a sister understands a brother. So she said, all of a sudden, we've had huge, major fights. He's not talking to me anymore. I still try to talk to him, but he's not talking to me anymore. Halacha, Esav, son of Yaakov. Can we imagine how mixed up things are when the anti-Semitism even begins to go and to infiltrate certain Jewish people? That is the way that anti-Semitism has of getting around. It is something that affects other people. It is something in the air that Chas V'Shalom is, it's given a platform. If it's not quieted at the earliest, in the inception, at the earliest stages, there is a difficulty, there is a danger that it will continue to grow. Reb Chaim Brisker, one of the greatest Gaonim, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, one of the greatest Gaonim of all time, said the following. It may be difficult for us to take, it's difficult for me to take. However, he said the following. He says, if you pass somebody from the nations, you pass them on the street, and they don't throw a stone, they don't throw a stone at you, he says it's not because they don't want to, it's because they're lazy. Reb Chaim Brisker. Can't argue with Reb Chaim Brisker. Could argue with others, but the great Gaon Reb Chaim, it's very difficult for us to understand. The idea is that a person has to be careful. The Jews' place in Galus, the Jews' place within the exile. What are we to do? Are we to parade our Judaism? Are we to show everybody? Are we to keep it somewhat modest? What's the thinking on it? What's the halacha? What is the Das Torah about it? It's interesting that in the Gemara we read in Chagiga, Yo'ani Yusul Yudai, that poverty befits the Jewish people. It's good. When the Jewish people don't have too much money, that's wonderful. Why? Because the nations of the world take a look at it, and the Gemara gives the example of a red cloak on a white horse. If you're ever in the horse business, you want to sell a nice white, stallion, you want to sell it, good thoroughbred racehorse, make a lot of money on it, you put a red cloak over it. Brings out the white, there's a contrast, it makes it sellable. So he says, so too, when the non-Jews see that the Jews didn't make it, when they see that the Jew is poor, lo aleinu, so that pleases their eye. It's pleasing like the red cloak on the white horse. And the answer is that sometimes a person does not know, but it's like it says in Chumash, that when we get too far, then the non-Jews become jealous, and the non-Jews begin to be mekane, and there's animosity that comes out. How much should a person keep to themselves that which they have? Modesty, humility is important for Bnei Yisrael. Not to show too much of that what we have to the other people, to the other nations of the world, because it upsets them. Now that we have to live in fear, Chas v'shalom, we have to live in a shadow? No. There are certain times that a person is supposed to come right out with it. A person should not be apologetic. A person has to say who they are. A person has to right away stand for whatever the Torah stands for and not be apologetic. If we hear Deus Kozmos, I was asked by a college student, Brooklyn College in my neighborhood. He says that there's a teacher of the Holocaust, a teacher of Holocaust studies. And the professor, every single class for some reason, begins to say things that are anti-Torah. The professor is an Am Haaretz. He's an ignoramus. But he knows enough to be able to say certain things against Torah. So the young man asked me, what is my chiyuv? What's my obligation? I said, it's your obligation to make a mechah. You got to protest. What does it say? Kol mi sheyesh biyado limchos, anybody that has the power to protest. Vein ha-moichin does not protest. He's nitvis, he will be the one that will be charged on the averas of his house. If he has the power, he can stop the averas of the city, he'll be charged for the averas of the city. If he has the power to stop the averas of the entire people, he will be charged for the averas of kol olam kulo. So I gave him the Am Yisrael speech, and after that he asked me the question, what if it costs him my grade? What if he gives me an F for it? What if he throws me out of class? I said it'll be a small price to pay, because you'll make a Kiddush Hashem, and for that, whatever profession you're going to go into, you'll have a Siyata Dishmaya. Hashem will help you from heaven that you will get to the place where you are. The very next class, he was ready, he was all fired up. He was just waiting for that first word to come out of the professor's mouth. And sure enough, he didn't let him down. The professor starts with his usual, and this student stands up proudly in class and begins to fire away. The students couldn't believe it. Sit down, be quiet, who cares what the old fogey says, don't worry about it. In the meantime, this guy's going on and he's prepared. All of a sudden, people begin clapping in the class. They clap so much, the professor sat down. He was flustered, he turned red in the face. The professor dismissed everybody early. However, the one guy that said something, Medetsky, said, come over here, Medetsky. Medetsky walks over to him and he says, Medetsky, I want to thank you. I want to apologize to you. What I've said probably wasn't right. And I see that something is built up within you. And you know, even a professor needs to know certain times when he's not 100% right. The person has a possibility to speak out and to protest. They should protest. Doesn't help by not protesting. So there are times that we may be very much in the news. There are times when we can say something, whatever we want. And then there are times that we have to be quiet. But that, of course, is not something that a person can choose. When to say, I'm sure that everybody has heard about that recent article that came out concerning the book that had written various things. If you didn't hear about it, Baruch Hashem, you didn't hear about it. But the paper's all making a whole thing about a little passage that came out in a certain book about the non-Jews, and it was written, Ramam Tonami Kol HaLashonos, that we are exalted above all the other languages and all over the nations. We say it in Kiddush. We say it on Yom Tov. That's what it means. It means that there is a quality, there's an aspect to us that we are the Am Kaddush. We're only the Am Kaddush, though, as long as we act like the Am Kaddush. As long as we act like the holy people. But there's an interesting machlokas that we find in one of the Sfarim, in the Nesivos Olam. The machlokas is, are we a exalted, elevated people, more than anybody else, just because we have the Torah? Without the Torah, we're like nobody. Or, do we given that special quality that we are exalted and elevated above everyone else, even without Torah? Well, I tell you what the Nesivos Olam says. The Nesivos Olam says, we are not elevated, we are not exalted without Torah. In fact, he says that we are lower than the other nations if we do not take a part in our Torah. If we don't grab on to that chelik that we deserve, that is rightfully ours, then we are even lower. On the other hand, as I noticed from your scheduled shiurim I'm sure you went into the whole Shiva Mitzvah B'nai Noach, and what is the reward of the Goy? What is the reward of the righteous Goy? Everybody knows that the righteous Goy, he is Zoche to a Chelet Olam Haba. He will get a portion in the next world. So we see an interesting contrast. The Jew, if he doesn't live up to his responsibilities, he's lower than the nation. He doesn't even deserve a chelik anywhere. On the other hand, the person from the nations of the world that lives up to his minor responsibilities of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, he will already be given a chelik in Olam Haba. He'll be given a portion of the next world. So there are those among the nations that have a very great level that they're able to come up to. Those that have been throughout the nations, those Hasidei Umos HaOlam that hid people during the Second World War, the Hasidei Umos HaOlam that every once in a while will come to the aid of Klal Yisrael. When Rav Waldman Shlita comes from Kiryat Arba, from Hebron, and he tells me he's going down to Miami, we were together just last week in Shul, and it was so interesting. He told me he's going down and near Miami, there's a group of people from the nations of the world, 200-300 gather together, and they give him support because they believe what he's doing. They believe in the Shtachim. They believe that Israel should be secure. It's unbelievable. Chassidim Musa'olam. When we see Chassidim Musa'olam, that is something that's unreal. We know that that is outstanding. But it's like the Mitzuyan. It's Chutz Miderach HaTeva. It's outside of the norm. It's outside of the regular nature of things. We have to realize that that is not the norm. We have to realize what Reb Chaim says when you pass a person on the street and they don't throw a rock. We have to understand what that's all about. That there is a primary difference that exists between Yisrael and the Amid. It also is interesting for us to note that we always have to remember that it says Yisrael Lev HaAmid. We are the heart of the nation. We are the heart of all the nations that exist in the world. What that means is that we have to be very careful. Because it says that if something happens in the world, it's happening because of the Jewish people. It's Chazal. Whatever happens, we hear that there was this tremendous tornado. Doesn't matter where it was. Iowa, Nebraska, breadbasket states, west. Doesn't matter. It's Yisrael Lev HaAmid. We have to take it to heart that maybe it's because of the Jewish people that there is something going on in the world. They are all lessons for us. If you watch and you hear it on the news, we have to drive the point home. How does it relate to us? What are we supposed to be able to take out of it? Yisrael Lev HaAmid means that if we do the right thing, that it's good for the world, that they learn from us correctly, that the world will be different, the world will be better. If we don't do the right thing, unfortunately, then Peronius come to the world. Ein Peronius bo la'olam, Ela Bishvil Yisrael. The reason that there are certain things that happen in the world, the challenges are because of Klal Yisrael. It's happening because of us. Now there are a lot of different pshatim. We don't have the time to get into it tonight. Rabbi Chonon Wasserman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Hashem Yinkom Domom, says a whole idea about what it means that the Peronius come to Yisrael, the world because of Yisrael. We have to know that in some way that we are in charge of the world, that we have to show a certain example to all of the people in the world, that they should understand the right way to conduct themselves, the right moral, the right ethical approach to certain things. It's interesting, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky one time had a problem with his foot, the great Gaon. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky comes into the doctor, he has a problem with his foot. So the doctor takes out the stethoscope and begins to check the heart. Rav Yaakov says, naturally he understood medicine, but he said to the doctor, "Doctor, why are you checking my heart? Problems with my foot." The doctor explained to him what the heart has to do with the rest of the body. Rav Yaakov knew it well, but he often repeated, Yisrael Lev HaAmid. A lot of things go on with the feet. Some things go on with the hands. But where does it all stem from? It stems from the lave, from the heart that comes from every Jewish person. Another interesting thing that we say every morning may not be politically correct. Shaloy Asani Goy. We all say Shaloy Asani Goy. We wake up in the morning. It was interesting. I was once in a camp in West Virginia many years ago. Federation brought me out. They didn't know what they were in for. They brought me out for one Shabbos. I come in. It was unreal, you know. So there was one, there was an Israeli fellow. Not a dati, just a regular. But such a chevraman. He knew. You know, they learn one beautiful thing in Israel. even in the regular schools, in the regular public schools. They learn Tanakh, they learn certain pieces, Monim, they learn all different interesting things. So when he used to come in the morning, the catering staff there, they were from the hills of West Virginia. I mean, I don't want to say anything, we don't have to go into it, but they were not on the upper echelon of society. So when he used to come in, they always used to give him like a jab or whatever. So he used to sing like this, Shalom Yosani Goy, Shalom Asani Goy. And it was so funny, they thought he was nuts, but what he was saying was so profound. How do we come in the morning, by the way, and say Shalom Yosani Goy? When we say it, what kind of kavanah do we have? Shalom Asani Oved. Do we say it with kavanah? Now every bracha has to be said with deep kavanah. Pokeach Ivrim. The biggest bracha in the entire world is you open your eyes up in the morning. Did we think about it for a minute? Pokeach Ivrim. I said the bracha in the morning. Did I think about it? I'm not so sure. But yet to be able to see the beautiful colors, to see the shapes of magnificent base medrash, base nesses here, so beautiful. Take a look from the outside, lit up. You're coming up the street. I was trying to find a place. I got good directions, don't worry, but just to take a look at the shul, it's beautiful. You can make a bracha on such a shul, but it's a bracha of sight. How many people, Rachmana Litzlan, deteriorating sight, wake up one day and they cannot see? How many people, there's a woman in Flatbush, she can't see, an incredible lady. She walks in, she's there at the shir. So one time she came into the shir and she said, Rebbe, I forget how she addressed me, she said, it's unbelievable. So many people came tonight. So I said, yeah, there's probably about, I'd say about 300. She said, oh no. I would say there's over 400 here this evening. They counted. Chevraman was listening in. They counted. There was over 400 that evening. It's a bracha. But she knows how to use the other senses that had to kick in because she doesn't have the sight. It's a tremendous bracha. You have to think about it. The fact that we're able to perceive things so we can see friends. The fact that we're able to know what's going on. You can take a look at caller ID and eliminate those agitating phone calls. You know every single time they call. They don't learn. They call 50 times the same number on a caller ID. I shouldn't avoid a call. I'm not saying to avoid a call, but be that as it may. Eyesight is tremendous. Able to learn. Able to read. Able to understand. To study. There's no bigger bracha in the world. You have to think about it. And every bracha is that way. It compels us to do some deeper thinking when you hit the brachas. Whatever person sad about that day, dejected, his stocks went down a little bit, or this happened, the real estate market went like this, or the interest. Don't think about it. Think about the brachas. You walk around smiling all day. People will think you're on something. What happens when it comes to the brachas? Teshalah sani goy. Wasn't made a goy. What are you supposed to think about during that time? So it's interesting that there was a great rabbi in Yerushalayim, never interested in anything to go on with the outside world. He knows, but he doesn't have to hear the news. Presidential elections that just took place. He wanted to hear who is going to be the winner. Who is the candidate that's going to be elected president? And it happens to be that he's never late. Every morning, 6 o'clock on the dot, this rabbi is in the yeshiva, in the shir, he's ready for davening. Happens to be that one day, the students didn't find him, didn't come in. For some reason, he's not there that morning. Never late for davening, not 1 minute, not 1 second. Not there. They start looking around for him, they get nervous, maybe he's not well. They go to his house, he's not in the house. The Rebbe said he left, he went somewhere. They start getting worried. What happened to our Rebbe? They find him at about 11:30. He was davening, you know, in the Shtibs over there, in the Shtiblach, when they have the late minyan. That's where he was davening. So they come over, Rebbe, what happened? You feeling okay? Is everything all right today? So the Rebbe says, no, it's okay. It's all right, I'm feeling all right. But today, I just wanted to find out what was the results of the election in the United States of America, the presidential elections. The most powerful person in the world is the President of the United States of America. When I say the bracha, Shalom Yosani Goy, I want to have kavanah. Not for the guy that's poor out in the streets in Wyoming, Not for the drunkard, the person who has a difficulty with alcohol, drinking, lying in the gutter, wallowing around in his own regurgitation. That's not who I think about Shlomo Sonigoy. I wanted to have in mind the most important, powerful person in the entire world. So it was him that I have in mind when I say Shlomo Sonigoy. It's Mr. Gates that I have in mind, with all of his billions, when I say Shlomo Sonigoy. That's what Hashem wants to teach us. Hashem wants us to know, you are Jewish people. You have to understand. Kivon v'charto, v'osono kidashto. The lowest Jew, if there is such a thing. The most humble Jew. The little child. Each one of them. You know, it's interesting. It says, al tigu b'mshichoy. Don't touch my anointed ones. They're in the Siddivrei HaYomim. Gemara tells us, who's that talking about? The little children. They all have potential being Mashiach. The teacher that begins to school the little child because of what they did or what they didn't do, better be careful. They may be schooling Mashiach Tzidkenu. Have to be careful with the little kids. Got to believe in the children. Don't know who they are. Every single person that's born in Klal Yisrael has greatness within them. Whether they have displayed it yet or whether it's going to come out, it doesn't matter. Rabbi Akiva, when did he become the great Rabbi Akiva? What was he before then? Unklus. What was Unklus before he became Unklus? What were so many of the Gaonim? What were so many of the great Tzaddikim? They weren't much in the earlier days, but then they can blossom and become big. That's Kivon v'Charto. That's knowing that Hashem has given into every single one of our neshamas a tremendous, tremendous power for greatness. If we want to strive for greatness, we can make it. If we want to push ourselves and we want to go beyond what our own expectations are of our own selves, we can become great. Because that is what Hashem says is the difference between Yisrael and the Amim. The major difference is we have the ability for Mesiras Nefesh. We have the ability to show who we are. We have the ability to go beyond what is the norm, what is expected just from a person. And this comes out in so many different ways. It comes out in Halacha. It comes out in Hashkafa. It comes out throughout the entire Torah. The sinner came down to the nations of the world, unfortunately, because we have Torah. And the more Torah that we know, the more we have an antidote, the more that we figure out how to deal with the nations of the world. The more that we stand for ourselves, it's the more that the non-Jews will like us. When we begin to be apologetic about our Judaism, when we begin to give in and give concessions and more and more and land and land and land, they don't respect it. They respect it when they see that we are Jews and that we are strong and that we are proud. I want to thank everybody for the wonderful schus to be here this evening. Everyone, Bez Hashem, all of Klal Yisrael should be in Eretz Yisrael, and we should be zocha quickly. We should merit the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, v'herav Yomenu. Amen.
Thank you.